Ahoy!
Oh, ahoy there. You caught me off guard.
What were you doing?
Well, I was literally just looking at my shoes on this jetty. The jetty of thought as you come ashore. Oh, throw me the painter, sir.
Here we go.
Got it.
Well done. First time. Thanks.
Cleat you off.
Cleat me off, why don't you?
Yes.
Oh, that's better. Oh, I still feel a bit unsure about stepping off the dinghy onto the jetty, because every time I do, the dinghy moves away.
Well, it does. Yeah.
Will you hold my hand there?
Oh, I've got you.
Thank you.
I've got you. I'm still...
Sorry, I've overcompensated and thrown myself into your arms. Let's just pretend it didn't happen.
Okay. You're sounding very, very clear.
Well, I was waiting for you to ask, Martin. I'm back in the UK.
Yeah. No.
Yes, I am.
No.
Yeah, back in the UK.
When?
Well, let me furnish you with detail. I was repatriated, Martin. Very exciting.
Yes.
Overnight, it was a kind of boat. It belonged to the Coast Guard, the Gibraltar Coast Guard. Arrived in Gibraltar, got tested, quick swab test.
Hang on, what you were in a dinghy? Were you setting off from Alger?
Yes.
How did come the Coast Guard picked you up?
Well, the Coast Guard came over from Gibraltar because no boats, you see, would go from Algiers.
So I see, you picked you up. From terra firma. You weren't bobbing about in a life vest.
That's right. The firmer the ground, the less of the terror. So I alighted here yesterday. Having been flown, repatriated, as I've said, it's a new word for me, so I'm very happy
exciting.
To use it.
It does sound
repatriated, boat, Algiers, Gibraltar, flight, Gibraltar, into Heathrow. Heathrow, like a ghost town, Martin.
Yes.
Coming into London on the Heathrow Express. I mean, it's never packed, but I mean, it was just like, well, it was like taking the Docklands Light Railway. It was so few people on it.
It probably was. Of course, they'll have had the duty free up, and they wouldn't close that for anything, would they?
That wasn't close. No, I mean,
no.
And any port in a storm, frankly. So I took the opportunity to pick up a bit more Cointreau, just for old times' sake, having drunk a bottle of it with Keith Mound.
Keith Mound.
Just to remind me of the happy days.
That's so exciting. And so how is it back in Chingford?
Well, I've got to do quarantine, you see. So I'm now looking down the wrong end of 13 days of sitting on my Todd in my flat in Chingford, Russia, which I have to say is slightly less well-equipped than my room at the Holiday Inn Express in Algiers. I'm sort of pining for it slightly, actually.
At least you don't have to wear a towel when you sit on the chairs, which is nice.
No. Well, apart from, I mean, one of the problems that I've got here is my hairless cat, Catamaran, who is continuing to shed. She's not a hairless cat by birth. She became one.
Right.
So, unfortunately, Mrs. Wilson from next door has done a sterling job of looking after her because she was very pleased to see me.
Yes.
However, I'm slightly concerned that she has coronavirus. I think certainly it's jumped species, started in cats to us, jumped back again, but anyway, she's got a lot of mucus build up, particularly her windpipe, her nostrils, and the ears are very, very full of discharge.
Very runny, yes.
So we're not out of the woods yet.
No Craig, I don't know what sort of bird it is, but some beautiful bird singing. I mean, in Chingford, I guess, when a nightingale sings in Chingford Square. What is that?
Have you ever had, when you were a child, did you ever have one of those China birds, Martin? Have you ever seen one of those? It's like, it just bubbles through the water and it makes the sound of a bird chirping. Whereas that's what it is. It's catamaran. It's got a lot of mucus build-up and she's just occasionally just exhaling through her nose and it's just chirruping slightly as it catches the air. It's quite a pretty sound, isn't it? Yeah. It's just mucus.
It was.
Anyway, tell me what's happening. I mean, You said last time we spoke, you said if the weather was good, you might start picking. Please put us out of our misery.
No, we're still not ready for the pick. Yarek and his trusty horde. I hope they'll be coming ashore.
You said
horde, as it were, from Romania.
You said horde, yes. Didn't you? Yes, sorry.
Well, yes. Last year, I remember, I was thinking, he's a nice fellow, actually. Like, you know, he's quite a hard man, I would have thought, it's fair to say.
Yeah, yeah.
He's seen some stuff.
Yeah.
He's now started saying over the telephone, he says, last year, I remember, Martin, you made a promise, he said.
Oh.
I remember your promise. And I'm thinking, I don't think I made any promise. I can't remember any promises.
Right.
Anyway, we'll have to wait and see what that's all about. I'm a little bit uneasy.
That sounds rather ominous.
I know. Oh, I remember
you
your promise.
You made a promise.
I remember your promise. Mm. I mean, anyway, who knows?
Do you think he meant it in the poetic sense? You know, I remember your promise. I remember reading your articles back in the day when you were the pop,
when you showed such promise.
Could that be what he means?
Maybe.
Martin, I don't fancy going.
Am I going to be going back to Romania as some sort of captive of his? I don't know. He'd have a job. He'd have a job getting me there, I think. All is well. All is well. Meanwhile, the land army, the girls' army, they're wonderful. I've been getting to meet more of those. Judith is a new favourite of mine. This is Kerry and Cora, their friend Judith. The only problem, Judith wears... She wears... Not sure how to put this. She wears T-shirts that have quite strident sort of logos on them.
Feminist, Martin. No, that's feminist.
In fact, there is a T-shirt that says feminist with a colon. And then I don't like to read the T-shirt because I keep seeing that she can see me reading the T-shirt. It looks like I'm eyeing her up or something terrible like that. It makes me very uncomfortable. So I don't quite know what her T-shirt says because I don't dare read it.
No, it's just a blur. It's just a nervous blur.
I imagine it probably says, "Not there, you horror."
Yeah, yeah. But I'm glad to see that that particular torch is now being carried so loftily.
Oh, yes.
Judith.
She carries it very loftily. And I think she's pulled a few marrows out.
Don't do this, Martin. Move on.
Horticulturally, she's very strong. She's very strong, is what I'm saying. I think, you know.
Martin, are you a fan of science fiction?
Oh, science fiction. No, not really. No.
Probably.
I mean, I've read the odd Philip Kerr, a bit of Michael Crichton, you know, I think.
Is Michael Crichton?
A little bit.
Is Michael Crichton science fiction? I thought he was just sort of ambulance chasing any issue that happened to crop up in contemporary society. So, basically? I mean, it's not science fiction exactly, is it?
No.
If it were science fiction, it'd be soft science fiction.
Hang on.
Yeah. No,
oh,
here
I,
we go.
I,
yeah.
I,
well, let me.
I feel a definition coming
there
on.
There is a definition.
Tell me,
there's
me,
a definition on the horizon.
Soft.
A soft science fiction. So we make a distinction, basically, in science fiction between hard science fiction, where there's proper science in it, and soft science fiction, where...
It's make-believe.
Yes, it's slightly more in the fantasy the sort of fantasy area of things. It's a bit like the difference between hard pornography and soft pornography. Because, I mean...
The soft pornography is in the real world, isn't it? And the hard pornography is just nonsense.
Well...
Actually, isn't it? That's
Well,
the...
yes. yes,
isn't
weirdly,
it?
The soft pornography...
People don't really do
that's
that.
That's right. Weirdly, the soft pornography is closer to the actual truth.
Yes.
But certainly in my life. But the yes, I suppose the opposite applies with hard science fiction. Hard science fiction is closer to the actual truth, and soft science fiction is kind of, well, It's a, like I say, it's a bit like pornography. And you know that some science is going on, but you're not sure exactly what. You see, hard science fiction, you know exactly what the science is, and it's sort of in plain sight for all to see. And when someone is doing science to someone else, you get every single law, integral, and you know, differential product. Whereas
every which way, science
soft, you know, soft science fiction, you know, basically they sort of cut away to a, you know, to the visual equivalent of a train disappearing into a tunnel, you know, that kind of thing.
I see what you're saying. I am inferring from this. Oh, hang on. Yes, that's right. Always have to check that one. Infer, imply. Now, I am inferring from this that you're a fan of the hard stuff.
I like it rock hard, science fiction. I like it as hard and straight as it comes, science fiction.
Who's your favourite rock hard science fiction stud? I don't know what you call them. Like a
star, I think is the right word.
Star. Yes. Hardcore
science fiction.
Rock
star.
Hard science fiction. Going it, giving it. Yes.
Well,
going
Alex. Yes. Alex Garland.
Because from the beach.
Did
he write The Beach?
Out of the Beach. Yeah. Yes. So he's written a number of and directed a number of fantastic films. Most recently, of course, Ex Machina. He's got a new series. It's fantastic. It's called Devs.
Will I enjoy it?
You won't understand a word of it, which is what I particularly enjoyed about it.
I mean, I don't mind that. I quite like I like being baffled by things, as long as I eventually understand it, or will I not eventually understand it either?
I think you eventually won't understand it. I mean, I certainly set my own sail by not understanding a word of it. It's got a really quite... It's really, really quite fascinating. So basically, it's sort of set in the world of tech. Yes. And there's this kind of tech guru character played by Nick Offerman. He plays this sort of long-haired hippie tech guy who runs this extraordinary company, Amala, this sort of really sort of nefarious tech company. And
in Silicon Valley?
And sort of certainly nearby. It's set in San Francisco, so it's not very far from.
Yes.
And he's sort of, his team has sort of created a machine. I don't think I'm giving too much away, that is so powerful. It's a computer that's so powerful, it can simulate reality, and it can also run the tape forward, if you like, and find out what will happen in any given state. So, Martin, it's like this machine, it could take, you know, could take you now, and it could take a snapshot of you, and then it could predict everything that you were going to say for the whole of this podcast, you know, not unlike real life.
I was going to say, that's not a great stride, is it? No.
In fact, it could predict everything you were going to say for the next 40 years. Again, not a huge stride in technology, but an achievement nonetheless. Anyway, Devs. Yeah, I really highly recommend it. It's a mini series. I think it's about seven episodes, something like that. And there's only one thing you need to know, which is the central performance strikes you as, which is given by...
this man from Parks and Recreation.
Nick Offerman, plays the boss, Offerman. But the sort of hero of it all, if you like, the protagonist, is Sonoya Mizuno. Is that a name that rings bells?
No, not at all.
Character's called Lily Chan. Yes. And basically, she behaves all the way through as she really couldn't be asked to be in this show. And at the end, you see why. So I've given you a bit of a teaser there.
I can understand the drama and I can get involved in the unities of the piece without necessarily having to know the science. Is that what you're saying?
No. You'll probably give up after an episode. But then when you tell me next week that you gave up, I'll feel sort of smug and self-satisfied.
this week has seen the launch of Times Radio. Radio, for goodness sake.
I was very excited about that. Have you listened to any of it?
I have, actually, yes. I have listened to it. I've listened to it. I quite like listening to it in the morning. They've got Asma Mir and Stig Abel.
Stig Abel?
Yes, Stig Abel. Stig is a nickname. I think his real name's Stephen or something like that, or something, you know. But yes, Stig Abel, currently I find quite irritating, but he may grow. I don't think if I met him socially, I'd particularly like him. I don't think.
That's often quite a good thing in a radio presenter. I mean, I don't think I'd put my arm around John Humphreys.
If I went into a pub and he was there, I'd probably go into the other room, I think, probably.
I'm pretty sure John Humphreys wouldn't want to talk to me. And that's probably John Humphreys.
That's true. But I think it's probably, back to the Times.
Yes, yes.
What they do, which is rather nice, and it's absolutely infuriated. There is a climate abroad, and has been for some time now, where you start from the absolute basis that any politician, or in fact, increasingly, anybody who goes on the programme is a scoundrel and a blackguard. Mm-hmm. And it is your job just to ridicule them and pull them up and ask them the most horrific question, very complex question, and say yes or no, yes or no, yes or no, and then hold them up as if you're a big cat and they're a little wriggly mouse. Yeah. And you're making them look ridiculous. And I think everybody's got to a stage of really finding it arse-numbingly boring. Now, the Times Radio has taken another approach, which is basically bring people on, and it's a bit like going on to a current affairs programme and Lorraine Kelly interviewing you.
Yes.
Which I don't really mind, in a way. Of course, it's infuriating. They started by having the Prime Minister on their first day, which would have been a great coup for him and for them. But it's greatly angered the left-wing press, of course, that the Prime Minister came on and wasn't given a round kicking. But actually, I quite like the idea. And while I do think they soft-soaped him a little bit, I quite like the idea of a new approach.
I don't know whether it's a British thing. Everyone hates the Prime Minister or the government that are in power. And then, when they retire and they publish their memoirs, everybody sort of loves them again. Theresa May, for example. I mean, there weren't a lot of people, there wasn't a chorus of approval for her every move.
No.
But now that she's no longer, you know, the Premier, it seems that people are very sort of fond of her and kind of
think,
she was a very decent person, Theresa May.
Yeah,
she was a very honourable person. But that's the same. Isn't it the same with every single politician, you know, when they retire? Suddenly we think, they were being briefed when we used to see them on television. And now that they're speaking in their own words, they seem to be quite a decent person.
Yes, that's very true. Well, the minute they get out of the clutches of the god-awful, what's the name of that fellow, Linton Crosby? Oh my God!
Yes,
the man who single-handedly turned our politics into a monoculture. I mean, it's too awful. Previously eloquent people stand up and can only parp out sort of three-word phrases in some terrible robotic ways. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I do think Theresa May was actually pretty god-awful when she was in charge. But every single bloomin' one of them stands up and talks to us like we're idiots.
Yeah.
Oh!
And then afterwards you get this sort of... Yes, there's a sort of period where... It's a bit like having a... You know, it's a bit like when you split up with somebody, isn't it? You have a very intense relationship for one, and then you split up and you hate their guts for a few months. And then after a while, you sort of, you bump into them. You had a sort of finger buffet and you see, they're quite nice, aren't they?
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, there you are.
Well, there you go. I will give it a try, Times Radio. I do think the irony of this, of the whole Times Radio, it just, after years of Rupert Murdoch going on about how he hates the BBC, hasn't he basically just made the BBC as it was
Wow.
Perhaps sort of basically before John Humphreys took over the Today programme.
Did you see a very touching tribute from Kanye West to his lovely wife, Kim Kardashian West?
Oh, yes.
She's been anointed, which is nice.
Remind me what it says.
Well, he said, "I'm so proud of my beautiful wife, Kim Kardashian West, for officially becoming a billionaire." A billionaire, officially.
You see, Kanye West is unquestionably a musical genius, but he's also got a particular genius for either really annoying people,
yes,
or making everyone think, oh. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I mean, this is quite interesting because he says you've weathered the craziest storms and now God is shining on you and our family. I don't know. God is shining on you if you have a baby, maybe. Or if something miraculous and truly wonderful, like you pull through some critical illness, or I don't know, God is shining on you. If God is shining on you, not so much when your accountant sends you a letter saying you're a billionaire. That's not God shining on you, is it? Is it?
I don't know. This is where I wonder whether, you know, have we just become completely detached from American culture?
Yes, he's taken a photograph. I mean, this is interesting and slightly gnomic. He's taken a photograph of a very, very large, big...
A beef tomato.
Beef.
I'd call that a beef tomato.
Except it's green. Yeah. It's big, but it's
not
green.
Ripe. Yeah.
It's not ripe. Yeah. It's been plucked untimely. Then to its right, looks like, I guess it's a rose. Then there's a tiny... This is a photograph taken, I would say, either in the early morning, I think likely early morning,
or the evening. It looks like early morning on his drive, because it's taken on what looks like rough cement. And the sun is at a very low angle, because even the small cherry tomato is managing to cast a long shadow.
That's coughing up a big shadow. I think there's a bit of lavender. Lavender, I think.
There is, it's a sprig.
A sprig of lavender casting a sort of, looks a little bit like a sort of an old Chinese tower, bit of Chinese architecture.
It does, it looks like a Chinese
Tang
pagoda.
Dynasty,
and
yes.
At the bottom left
what
is what I think,
a fig?
No. An unripe fig.
It's a fig, oh, that's right, yes.
It's an unripe
there we
fig.
Are. Fig, yeah. Fig, big tomato, little tomato rose pagoda. The tomato does put me in mind of Kim Kardashian in a funny way, I'm not quite sure why.
It reminds me too. I'm not sure why.
Yes.
And if you're going to cook that down, you'd have to put that on a low simmer for what?
Four hours? Five hours? Yes.
Yeah. You know, you've been waiting
down.
For 6 hours.
I should have thought.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. You might. Well, you can make a
that
chutney.
That rose would have wilted.
Oh, the pagoda would have fallen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fallen. Yeah. The fig would have ripened, though. That's nice.
That would be lovely. Perhaps that's what it means.
Perhaps that's what it means. I think we might have unpacked it there.
Or,
yes,
he was basically composing this tweet early in the morning and he thought, oh, God, I should have got her something. Because she's just become a billionaire.
Here's what happened is he went down to the shop and asked, where are your billionaire cards?
Martin! Well. I don't quite know how to say this. You're actually standing on the rope, sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, there we go. Oh,
it's fine. Just de-cleat me there. De-cleat me.
The barnacled rope. There we are. De-cleat you. And I'm going to throw it to you. Here it comes.
Oh, I've slightly misjudged it. I've got to run and jump.
Oh, you've got it there.
There we go. Oh.
Well done. Well,
D'ahoy.
D'ahoy,
What fun.
Well, I look forward to catching up with you in a week's time.
Yes, here I am.
Wonderful.
Right on the other. It's as if it feels like we're much more... it feels like, you know, we can actually... It's much more connected, isn't it, The internet works, is what I'm trying to say. I'm not being funny. I'm not being sort of xenophobic, really. But the internet bloody works, which is great. It's been driving me mad. But it works,
very
which
good
is great.
Well,
bye.
D'ahoy.
D'ahoy. D'ahoy. D'ahoy, Martin. D'ahoy.
Time Ghost was written and created by Alexander Armstrong and Ben Miller. It was produced by Claire Broughton and Andy Goddard. This was a Hattrick podcast.